I got the book. So, on the cover, Psalm 25:4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. So, if you have your sword, let's turn to Psalm 25. I first of all look for who wrote the psalm. In my Bible, Psalm 25, a psalm of David. My understanding is, put all the scriptures together, David could have written these psalms. Now, I'm well aware some of our brethren think it was in honor of David. But my thought would be David wrote it. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. As I read the psalm, I was impressed with verses 8 through 11. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. And the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and what else? Truth. Now, when I was growing up, the emphasis was on truth. Still needs to be on truth. I like the emphasis, though, on mercy. So, David thought both were important. He needed to be merciful. He needed to be truthful. So, to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity. What was his observation? For it is great. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'll just raise mine. I think we could all agree with David. Our sins are great. And we really need the mercy of God, but we also need to follow the truth of God. So I want to do two things in the first session this morning. Just sort of introduce the day and then emphasize one aspect or event in the life of Jacob for lesson one. This is produced by 21st century Christian. I remember them as the 20th century Christian, but that dates me. Yeah. I can still remember Jim Bell McIntyre and the old location on Granny White. Now they're across the street, the new location. I'm not quite as familiar with Jim Bill's son and daughter, but I liked the lessons. Let me read about the author. Buddy Johnson has been with the Jefferson Avenue Church of Christ in Cookeville, Tennessee, since 2001. I can still remember the old road between Livingston and Cookeville. We'll just say it was curvy. I can remember now the new road is a little straighter. He joined the ministry team as youth and family minister before moving into his current role as preaching minister in 2006. Buddy holds a B.A. in Bible from Lipscomb University and an MA in New Testament from Fried Hardeman University. Buddy and his wife, Angela, of course our daughter's named Angela, so that really caught my eye, have three children, Luke, Abby, and Levi. Now, table of contents. I believe the lessons go together. And if we don't have the first lesson, we can forget about the rest. Now, I'm looking forward to what Jody has in lesson two, and Patrick, lesson three, Ralph, lesson four, and Trevor, lesson five. I'm sure you'll all do an excellent job. I'm using power for today. And of course, here's what they emphasized in power for our lessons. Lesson one, stay focused on God. And we'll note in a moment, Jacob, a trailblazer with purpose. I discovered, again, Jacob wanted to do God's will. So Jacob wrestles with God. That'll be in Genesis 32. Lesson two, stand up for what you believe. Speak out. Is that what Elisha did? You're not going to get your thunder. But a trailblazer with commitment. Elijah was really committed to doing God's will. So we'll study about Elijah and the contest in Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. Lesson three, shine for God where you are. Stand out for God. Is that what Daniel did in the lion's den in Daniel 6? Lesson four, stick to God's ways. Nehemiah, a trailblazer of action. I remember Nehemiah, they rebuilt the wall. So Nehemiah 4 will have, he rebuilds the wall. We need to work together. And then lesson 5, show others the way to Jesus. Show the way. That's what John the Baptist or John the Immerser did. He wanted to prepare for the coming of Jesus. So I'm looking forward to all of these lessons today. Introduction. When you became a Christian, you accepted a lifelong mission to lead people to Jesus. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20 was given, which is Matthew's account of the Great Commission. I would start with verse 16 and then go through verse 20. God wants you, your family, and your friends to be with Him one day in heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And I'll give another passage for Matthew and another for 1 Timothy. Some of your friends are Christians. Some are not. It is your privilege to blaze the trail to Jesus. Show them the beauty and joy of being in Christ. And I'll give another verse for that. Our theme for these lessons is trailblazers for the faith in Jesus. We will look at the lives of five people. Let's see if I can remember right. Jacob, Elijah, Daniel, Nehemiah, and then John the Baptist. We will look at the lives of five people who blazed the trail to Jesus. We will also consider how we can make the way to Jesus easier for those who are searching today. We're not going to take time. I would add to Matthew 28 the account in Mark. I'm sure you're all aware of the fact. Just remember, the Great Commission is in the last chapters of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Can't remember where? You could easily find. So here's Mark's account. We'll begin at verse 14 through verse 20. Later he appeared to the 11. That will be the resurrected Jesus. Later he appeared to the 11. Which one's not there? as they sat at the table, and he rebuked. Can you picture Jesus rebuking the apostles? And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now, Jesus had predicted that, hadn't he? Remember what's going to happen to me in Jerusalem. And one of his thoughts was, I'll be raised. Somehow they didn't grasp that, did they? Now, we have 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the ones you like. My Bible says to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I assume you already know. All but one of these are mentioned in the book of Acts. The one that's not mentioned, I believe it happened. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. That'd be an easy way to get rid of the apostles, wouldn't it? Let's just spike their drink. Well, Jesus promised they may do that, but it's not going to hurt you. It's my will. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So I would assume maybe we're more familiar with Mark's account, but there's Matthew 28, Mark 16, and then there'll be Luke 24. I was impressed. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4.
None of us ever saw any of these things. So, in John, Jesus talks about how those that have seen believe, but those that have not seen receive a special blessing in their faith.
Okay, in 1 Timothy 2, 4, who desires all men to be what?
Saved.
That'd include us, wouldn't it? And to come to the knowledge of the what? Now, I would add, or I remember 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, or I would change it, that any would be lost, but that all should come to repentance, or all would come to Christ, obedience of the gospel. God doesn't want me to be lost, but it's my choice. Do I want to be lost or saved? So I would add that verse to the other. So Great Commission, Matthew 28, Mark 16, and then God wants us in heaven with him. 1 Timothy 2 and 2 Peter 3. Now, lesson one is Jacob a trailblazer with purpose. Lesson text, Genesis 32:22-31. And I like the focus. Jacob was part of God's plan to bring Jesus into the world. He was willing to wrestle an angel to be blessed. And I thought, well, I wonder what Matthew and Luke had to say in their genealogy. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then in verse 2, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brother. Let's turn now to Luke chapter 3. And, look at the last of 33. The son of Judah. Then in 34, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. And this would tie in with our spring meeting. Remember, the theme was everything is better. You can be a better husband, have a better marriage, a better community, a better church. Everything in Christ is better. I never forgot that. But okay, let's turn now to Genesis 32. Now, I like to be simple. I realize you don't go from one extreme to the other. But I generally remember before Genesis 32, Jacob is the deceiver. Then after Genesis 32, he'll be Jacob or Israel. He'll be Jacob the prince. Now, I did discover there, I don't think he went overnight just from a deceiver to a prince. Give you an illustration. I heard the debates among the Democratic candidates. Let me say the Republicans do the same. But basically, the way I heard it, Hillary said, Obama's not fit to be president. And Obama basically said, well, Hillary's not fit to be president either. But I found it interesting then, when Obama got the nomination, then the thought was, greatest man that's ever been. I don't think he went for one day he was a scoundrel and the next day he was great. Again, the Republicans do the same. My personal conviction is you don't tear down someone to build yourself up. I don't like that. Okay, this is the New King James. Now, I'm assuming that you know the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And I find it interesting that Moses wrote Genesis. So you have the creation and the fall, the flood, and then the patriarchs. Moses, how much time elapsed between Joseph in Genesis and Moses in Exodus? But we attribute, and there are scriptures, that Moses wrote five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So, now, Remember, Jacob had to leave home. He's deceived his brother. In Genesis, he got the birthright and the blessing. You might want to do some research on that. You might want to research again what's really said about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph by Moses. I still want to do some more research. Esau was a hunter, man of the field. Jacob was, depending on your translation, a quiet or mild man in the tents. Isaac sort of liked Esau, and Rebekah sort of liked Jacob. So, what was the difference? When the Bible says Jacob was a quiet man, a mild man. Now, remember, Jacob had to leave home. Here comes Esau. Is he alone? Genesis says there are 400 men with him. I don't know how many servants Jacob had, but if Esau with 400 men, if he'd wanted to, he could have done a lot of damage, couldn't he? So this is the next day. Jacob's going to be reconciled to Esau. Now, our theme in lesson one is you have to be first reconciled to God. So, and he arose that night and took his two wives, their sisters. You remember their names? Okay. And his two female servants. Now think of Leah, Rachel. Remember the handmaids? Bilhah and Zilpah. And his 11 sons. And crossed over the ford of, I would probably say Jabbok, but there's another pronunciation. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but what? Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face. And my life is what? Preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his what? Fire hip. Okay. So, think of it. Jacob has a new name. He also has a limp. Now, I have word to 10, so. Again, before this reading, I would remember you have Jacob the deceiver. Then after this reading, it's more Jacob the prince. So, let me give you some other verses to think about, and then we'll turn the time over to Jody. Let's go to the minor prophets. In Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Now, you read the context, the emphasis on Judah. We've already noticed a descendant. I find it interesting. Reuben? No. Simeon? No. Levites? Priests. But the emphasis is going to be on Judaism. And then later, the emphasis will be on Joseph. And of course, so. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. And in his strength, he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor with him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to him. So I find that interesting, what Hosea many years had to say about Jacob. Okay, let me give you some other verses, which I'm sure you've thought about. But in Genesis chapter 47, verse 10, so Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Think of that. Jacob is blessing Pharaoh. This Hebrew, Israelite, Jew from Canaan is blessing, for that day and age, the highest monarch, Pharaoh. Very refined and cultured. So. But that verse impressed me. In chapter 49, you have Jacob blessing the sons. Now, Moses will do it later in his lifetime for the tribes. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20 and 21, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Again, I'm looking forward to lesson two for Jody, lesson three for Patrick, lesson four for Ralph, and lesson five for Trevor. I believe Brian did an excellent job with the minor prophets. So I'm not going to, but remember last week's lesson, how Malachi started? There was a reference to Jacob and Esau. Jacob the Israelites. Esau the Edomites. This impressed me. In Hebrews chapter 12, 16 and 17, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like whom? Like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his what?
Birthright.
Now remember, Moses written, Esau really despised his birthright, didn't he? And then later, the story of Jacob got the blessing. And he even lied to his father. And then later, the father of Leah and Rachel will deceive Jacob. So, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, I'll give you something to think about. The Hebrew writer says, a profane person like Esau. I would use the word common, worldly. That Esau was more profane, common, or worldly. Jacob, yes, he was a deceiver, but he became a prince. So I would view Jacob put the emphasis on God, the heavenly, the spiritual. And just introduce lesson two. I found it interesting. Then Elijah referred to this on Mount Carmel, didn't he? Now again, the main thought is Jacob had a lot of struggles. But as he wrestled with the angel or God, that was a key turning point in his life. You need to be right with God. And if you're right with God, then you can be like Elijah and Daniel, Nehemiah, and John the Baptist. So good to have all of you.